Welcome to another episode of Now Playing. I'm Arnie.
And I'm Marjorie.
And we just got back from seeing 28 Weeks Later.
It was awesome.
For those of you who haven't seen the original 28 Days Later, it's kind of a modern English take on the zombie film. Taking place in London, there is the Rage virus, which has infected many Londoners and basically creates zombie-like symptoms, only it's a fast-paced zombie movie. These zombies book. They're not the usual brains
zombies. No, these zombies are fast and they're violent. The virus that causes is the Rage virus. They are mean, they puke blood, their eyes bleed and turn all red, and they're scary.
They are. They're the one of the best things to happen in the zombie resurgence was 28 Days Later, with a tie for first being the remake of Dawn of the Dead, I think.
But they're two totally different kind of movies. Yeah, they're zombie movies, I guess, in the zombie genre. However, Dawn of the Dead is, and I hate to say this, but it's more upbeat.
It is, but Dawn of the Dead's your more standard horror fare. It's got a little comedy mixed in, and it's what more Americans are used to having with their horror films.
It's got gratuitous boobies as well, which is a standard for American horror films.
It's an update of the kind of film you have in the 80s with Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, whereas 28 Days Later is more cerebral horror. It makes you think while it makes you jump.
And it takes you on a ride and never lets go until the very end, and you're just like, oh my gosh, it's such an exhausting movie.
It was. When we walked out of 28 Days Later, I felt like I'd had an experience, not watched a movie. And I said to you that I really enjoyed that movie and I want to buy it on DVD, but I don't know how often I could watch it.
No, it's really hard to watch. And not because it's gruesome, which, you know, it is, but I think we're desensitized to that nowadays. But the fact is that it's so brutal in the storyline, and the fact that you get attached to the character so quickly and you don't think that they're ever going to get out of the situation. The situation is entirely hopeless.
And it's the only movie in which
Cillian Murphy
isn't completely creepy.
No, he's slightly creepy.
But you get attached to those characters, and what those characters are put through, you go through with them. And when you come out on the other side, I mean, it brought me back to Danny Boyle. Never a big fan of Trainspotting, never saw The Beach, but 28 Days Later, phenomenal.
Yeah, the movie grabs you by your shirt collar and takes you and drags you through the whole movie. And at the end, you're just like, oh my God, that was so good.
Now, 28 Weeks Later, Cillian Murphy and Danny Boyle were busy doing other projects, and so we got a new director, a new cast, and a totally new plotline, but I think we got just as good of a movie.
Oh, it's very good. Now, this movie did have a lot of American-speaking actors in it, because in the story, NATO has gone back after the initial infection and set up like a new Britain or new London and has a green zone and basically are the peacekeeping forces there.
So an Americanized London. And
yes.
It's, without getting too political, it's similar to a internment camp in many ways, because the natives, the Londoners, are truly just prisoners trying to rebuild the society. It's really completely controlled, and their every action controlled by the U.S. Armed Forces.
Yeah. Now, this movie sets up everything you need to know for the entire movie in the first 5 minutes. And the first 5 minutes, again, start off with a bang.
It does. And the mood and the atmosphere of that first scene, you're just waiting for the shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movie's not going to start off immediately in the middle of a zombie attack. You've always got to set it up. There's no movie that starts with a killer mid-kill. There's always a setup with the victims. And with this movie, you're just sitting there waiting for the shoe to drop, waiting for it, waiting for it. And when it comes much harder than I ever expected. It was like, oh shit.
It's like a steel toe boot right to your forehead. That's how quick it just comes. And from there, it never stops until you get to the internment camp or refugee camp when they're trying to set up New London. And there's some lulls, but there's still action going on that you want to know about.
Mm-hmm. It never gets boring.
No.
They never spend time setting up needless subplots.
Oh, absolutely not. They don't mess with any of that, which is great.
Every character who is focused upon has a role to play, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, at first I was a little irritated. They're focusing on these snipers and the guy in the helicopter, and now I know why.
They are players throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, and at first I'm like, oh man, don't give me mindless drivel. I don't need to see this, but they do play into the part. pretty much everyone that has a speaking part says more than two sentences, I guess you could say, plays an integral part in the movie.
Yeah, for example, I thought the opening scene was just setting up London with zombies, and I thought we'd never see any of those characters again, and I was completely wrong.
Yes, they were.
They were the plot.
Yeah, it's a very good plot, too, the little, with the father and everything. Yeah.
Basically, it's about a part of a family which survived the initial rage virus attack on London. Now, this is not a date movie. It's not a feel-good film.
No, it's not a feel-good film, but it could be a date movie if you're going on the date with the right kind of girl, because I'm impervious to that, but they had some good editing that made me jump.
Yes,
because it startled me. You're seeing a nice, serene scene, all of a sudden, bam, zombies! And that's good. I love it when horror movies do that to me, because now Freddy jumps out, whoop-de-doo, it doesn't scare me, but this startled me, and it's great.
Well, the zombies, the cinematography they use, and the quick cuts, and the, I don't know what to kind of call it, it's kind of a choppy strobe effect.
It's kind of like what they, if they took a camera and put it in a soccer ball, and then just bounced it around all over.
But they kind of did it a little bit in Gladiator, where it looks a little choppy, it's not smooth motion, and it's kind of sped up a little bit.
But that adds to the tension of the scenes.
Oh, absolutely, that's what I was getting at, is these zombies never stop scaring you.
No.
At the end of the movie, you're not tired of the tricks of seeing these zombies. You don't go, oh, another zombie.
No, not at all.
These zombies fuck with you. It's tight. I really recommend this for anyone who enjoys a little bit of thought with their violence. If you're thinking you just want to see people get killed in the gratuitous booby shots, not the movie for you.
No, in fact, there were boobies in this one, but it was such a bad scene that you really didn't even want to. Probably, you might not even have noticed them. I don't know.
There was another scene with boobies, but it was very short.
Yeah, that was short too. But
now, there's been a lot stated about the political statements of this, that it's a very much a corollary to Iraq.
Well, don't give away too many spoilers about this movie either, because I'm really trying hard not to.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil this for anybody because the shocks are too great.
Yeah.
But all I'm going to say about the Iraq thing is it's there if you want it to be there.
Yeah, but okay. Now, I know a lot of people say things like that. You can see anything you want in a movie or book that you want to. You know what I mean? Because you can take a movie and you can make it a statement about your little pet cause.
Okay, but there's a difference when you have a situation where American armed forces are set up and re-civilizing an area through camps and violence. I mean, that's a little bit tighter than watching my pet dog Fluffy and saying, that's a movie about the lesbian agenda. I mean, there's a difference there.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And this is certainly a post 9/11 look at the army, because the way that everyone views the armed forces has changed, and this is very much a taking care of business armed forces. It is not where the armed forces are sitting around and Saving Private Ryan, discussing their loved ones back home and having male bonding. This is burn, motherfucker, burn armed forces.
And we can't give away the ending either.
No, I'd love to, but I can't. Let's just say the ending so sets up, 28 months later?
Yeah, well, you just gave it away.
No, I'm just saying it's open-ended.
Yeah, it is open-ended. Yeah, I guess you're right.
It leaves room for a sequel. Rumor has it that Danny Boyle is so impressed with the second one, he wants the third one back for himself, and I'd love to see him get it. So, absolutely, I recommend this. This actually may be my favorite summer film, and it's only
Well, we haven't seen Hot Fuzz yet.
We have not seen Hot Fuzz. We're hoping to see that next week.
It just came to our lonely, pathetic little town.
With Star Wars Celebration coming up, not sure if we'll actually get to it next week or not, but speaking of zombie movies, Shaun of the Dead was one of the top three movies of the zombie resurgence.
Oh, absolutely. Simon Pegg is a genius.
Yeah, and I think that Simon Pegg is the only reason I would see Hot Fuzz, because looking at the trailer, I just kind of look and think it's another Reno 911.
But it's not.
No, it's British.
I just can't stress on this movie, though, how different of a movie it is. It's, if you like the standard American typical horror film, it's a lot different, actually. And a lot of people are turned off by the rawness of it. Just the fact that it grabs you and never lets go throughout the entire movie. But that's what makes a good movie. It's an experience. It's not just sitting watching shoving popcorn in your face.
Well, I mean, there's two kinds of ways of looking at that. I mean, Spider-Man is just a movie, and all of them are. It's not an experience. You don't walk out of it changed. changed the way you do out of something like maybe 28 Days Later or Requiem for a Dream or one of those movies that really grabs you by the gut. And notice that the movies that grab us by the gut are the smaller, more independent films.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the larger mainstream films that kind of roll off your mind like the water off a duck's back.
I have to say, though, they did have a bigger budget for this one.
Yes, and it was phenomenal. The effects were great. During certain scenes there, I was just awestruck by the horrific beauty, I dare say.
Mm-hmm. But it is a good movie. I think this movie is a must-see if you are a hardcore horror fan, if you want to try something new, a movie that's an experience. It is not a movie for kids or anybody queasy.
And, I mean, to put it bluntly, you were curled up like a fetal ball during one violent scene.
Well, that's just because it was a sensitive part, and I'm not talking about, you know,
woo-hoo.
No. It was just, I think everybody sees that, they cringe.
Yeah, you were hands over your face, kind of. Yeah.
Because I don't like that.
I know, I don't like it either, but I kept my eyes open and just, I forced myself to watch it, whereas I wanted to turn away. So, great for the horror fans. And if you absolutely dislike horror, obviously this isn't for you.
No, I wouldn't see it if you don't like horror movies
but
at all.
If you like smart movies and you don't mind horror, this would be a good one too.
I think it's bad that they made the zombies power to like puke blood all over you to spread their virus.
No, that just is kind of a nasty thing they do. I don't think that spreads it. It's
they say it spreads it. It's spread through the blood and the vomit.
Any
and
kind of
saliva.
Fluid.
Yeah, any kind of bodily fluid.
Kind of like the fear of AIDS way back when.
Yeah, but yeah, this is what you don't want to drink after these zombies.
You don't want to share a fork with the
zombies. No, no. Don't let them take a bite of your french fry.
Certainly no needle sharing.
No, not at all.
Of course, by the time you've tried to share a needle, I'm sure they would have gouged your face in and, you know, basically ripped off your head and shit down your throat.
Well, yeah, because it's a 20-second virus. It's quick acting. It's quick acting tenactin.
So we highly recommend this movie. We enjoyed ourselves thoroughly, and I really can't say enough positive things. I'm headed to Amazon right now to see if there's a soundtrack for it.
Oh, the music was fantastic. It was very creepy at the right times, but not like, you know, Vincent Price creepy.
No, no.
But
moody.
Yeah, it was moody. It was very good.
And it reminded me a lot of the score music that Trent Reznor did for Natural Born Killers. It had a very similar kind of tone, and that's what actually made me pay attention to it, is I'm like, oh, this reminds me of some Nine Inch Nails stuff. Oh yeah, the Natural Born Killers. And
see, I don't remember. I didn't make that connection.
You haven't listened to the Natural Born Killers soundtrack about 2,000 times either.
No.
Yeah.
But I did like the movie, and I was a big Jane's Addiction. I am still a big Jane's Addiction fan. No, it reminded me more of going back to the 70s horror movies, where just like the same thing would go over and over, and it was very fitting. Like the one that comes to mind, I don't know why, is The Shining. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, that's a very good correlation.
Yeah, there. Not like the current horror movies that have to get like Korn in there doing the soundtrack.
And when I say Nine Inch Nails, though, I'm not referring to...
I know you're referring to the band.
Yeah, I'm referring to just some instrumental stuff Trent Reznor did in the background.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, I'm telling them.
Oh. But I thought of The Shining when I heard the music, but better. Though, in closing, we recommend this movie. It is very good.
A great movie is one where you never look at your watch, and you don't walk out talking about the trailer you saw before. I never looked at my watch, and I didn't think of a single trailer.
Yeah, we did. We didn't think of the trailer, but we saw a trailer for a movie that looked good, was Captivity, with, what's her name? Alicia Cuthbert or something like that? The girl that was in the one about the porn star kids.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids made the porn star moved in next door.
The girl next door.
Dude. Yeah, that's the movie.
And we also kind of thought the one with Kevin Costner and Demi Moore.
Mr. Brooks.
Looked surprisingly good. I hate Kevin Costner.
And I'm not a big fan of Dane Cook, and he was in this movie as well.
But that one might be good. We're going to have to wait and see on that.
Demi Moore is showing her age a little, I noticed.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot more than in Charlie's Angels 2.
Yeah.
I guess the plaster of Paris plastic surgery can only last so long. Thank you for listening. We'll be back later. Now Playing is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.